And from the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Today, the state reported another 20 new cases of COVID-19 for Juneau. Those are the total new cases from the past 2 days, but they don't include results from today or home tests. 5 Bartlett Regional Hospital staff members are out due to illness from the virus. There is currently 1 patient being treated for COVID-19 at the hospital. The Juneau School District has reported 9 new cases this week across 6 different schools. Statewide, at least another 472 Alaskans and visitors to the state have tested positive since Monday, which, again, doesn't include results from today or home tests. There are currently 50 people being treated for COVID in hospitals around the state. State health officials announced 1 recent death, a man from Soldotna in his 80s. Free vaccinations are available in Juneau for anyone age 5 and up. There were multiple avalanches seen above the Flume Trail this week. One happened this morning and another on Sunday afternoon. Juneau's urban avalanche danger right now is considerable. That's a 3 on a scale that goes up to 5, so it's not that high. Emergency manager Tom Matisse says,
"You know, I think it's important for people to recognize that even at low avalanche danger, it's not no avalanche danger. Avalanches can always occur."
Rain on top of loose snow is causing avalanche activity. Matisse says it's been a mixed bag of conditions, with snow near the top of mountains and rain at lower elevations, causing some small avalanches at the lower level. Matisse says that activity is not large and it's not widespread.
"People are going to see avalanches, but that doesn't mean they're big enough to bury houses, which is why it's an urban forecast, so it's considerable, not high. And yet, you know, if you're a backcountry skier, considerable means something completely different to you, right?"
Matisse recommends not going near the Flume Trail or Perseverance Trails, or in the gated area above the Barrens neighborhood. He says if you see an avalanche, you should report it to the Coast Alaska Avalanche Center. You can check the city's avalanche advisory or report avalanches at juneau.org/emergency/current/-advisory. This week, the president signed a $1.5 trillion federal spending bill into law. The bipartisan bill keeps the federal government running and includes billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine. The spending package also includes hundreds of millions for lawmakers' pet projects. As KSTK's Sage Smiley reports, a little over $2 million from the bill will go towards funding a pipe on Wrangell Island.
Wrangell's drinking water comes from 2 artificial lakes perched on the hill south of town, but the water plant can't draw directly from the upper reservoir, so plant operators can't clean or do maintenance on the smaller, lower reservoir without muddying Wrangell's drinking water supply. There also isn't a backup if the lower reservoir is somehow contaminated or blocked. Borough manager Jeff Good says a direct line from the upper reservoir to the water plant would go a long way towards fixing the issue.
"Basically, if the upper reservoir starts overfilling or gets too much, we can pull directly from it and pull straight down to the plant from there. So it just kind of relieves some of that pressure off of the lower dam."
He got some good news this month when Senator Lisa Murkowski announced she'd inserted a large chunk of funding for the Upper Reservoir Bypass Project into a massive federal spending bill. It's a pricey project, and the senator's more than $2 million earmark doesn't quite cover the whole $2.8 million estimated price tag. But along with around $615,000 that the state gave Wrangell in 2014 to get the project going, Good says the new water line will be mostly paid for.
"There will be some amount of gap, but it's pretty close. So there'll just probably be a little bit. We'll probably have to pull out of our reserves to pay for the remaining amount."
Good says he's grateful to Murkowski for getting the funding for Wrangell's reservoir bypass into the federal spending bill. He says Wrangell has a lot of infrastructure needs.
Any help we can get with some more projects definitely helps.
A number of Southeast communities will also receive money from the federal spending bill. There's $500,000 for an emergency backup generator in Metlakatla, $1.2 million for landfill projects for Klawock, Kaufman Cove, and Craig, $2.5 million in infrastructure for Ketchikan, 2 more pipes, actually, plus about $500,000 for Ketchikan shelters for domestic violence survivors and homeless people, and $8 million towards a new hospital in Petersburg. Good says the borough hasn't received a timeline for when funding might arrive in local accounts, and thus isn't exactly sure when the work on the new pipe will get underway. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden signed the omnibus funding package for fiscal year 2022 into law. The nearly 3,000-page bill includes a reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA. KNBA's Tripp Krause has more.
As a Delaware senator, Joe Biden helped write the original piece of legislation nearly 30 years ago that's long championed the law. As president, he spoke about the measure on Wednesday.
Even in 1994, we knew there was much more we had to do. You know, that was only the beginning. That's why, because of all of you in this room, every time we reauthorize this law, it's been improved. It's not like we didn't know we wanted to do these other things in the beginning. As we did as much as we could and keep trying to add to it.
The law focuses on domestic violence and sexual assault survivor programs. The reauthorization includes language that empowers tribes to prosecute non-Native offenders of child violence, sexual violence, sex trafficking, stalking, and other crimes. The tribal provisions of the VAWA reauthorization also create an Alaska pilot project that will allow a small number of Native villages to exercise special tribal, criminal, and civil jurisdiction over non-Native offenders in some cases. Akiak Native Community Chief Mike Williams is also the Alaska Region Vice President for the National Congress of American Indians. In a news release from the National Indigenous Rights Organization, he said that, quote, "This reauthorization of VAWA empowers us to take the necessary steps to build healthier and safer tribal communities in Alaska and across Indian country for generations to come," end quote. In Anchorage, I'm Trip J. Krause.
A public safety bill is working its way through the Alaska House of Representatives. The bill's author says it aims to improve the Village Public Safety Officer Program in rural Alaska. Thursday, the proposed bill moved out of the House Committee on Tribal Affairs. This brings it one step closer to becoming a law. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports that community leaders from across the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta called into committee this week to voice support for the bill.
Brandon Aguchuk is the tribal administrator for Skamand Bay. He's felt the loss of their only VPSO deeply.
We haven't had awesome PSO since 2017, resulting in higher and more significant rate of drug and alcohol abuse in our community.
Skamand Bay is not the only community that's lost a VPSO over the last decade. In the YK Delta alone, only about 14% of communities have either a trooper or a VPSO post. Many YK Delta residents say that lack of public safety leaves their communities vulnerable to crime. Napakiak resident Daniel Nelson says it's more peaceful in town when there's a VPSO.
When we used to have a VPSO program, the village is very in control. Everybody is respecting it and the village is quiet.
Proponents of the bill say it could fill a much-needed public safety gap in rural Alaska. They say it could improve the VPSO program in three main ways. First, it could increase officer retention. Second, it would seek to hire more qualified candidates by increasing the stringency of the background checks and psychological evaluations. Third, it would give the nonprofits and municipalities that employ VPSOs more freedom to station the officers as they see fit. For example, the communities could have roving officers who move from village to village or place more than one officer in a community. The House committee invited two leaders from the YK Delta to explain how the bill could help rural Alaska. Vivian Corthius is the CEO of the Association of Village Council Presidents. The tribal nonprofit runs the VPSO program in the YK Delta. She said the bill was desperately needed.
One of the greatest public safety needs in rural Alaska is local law enforcement presence within our villages.
Eileen Arnold also spoke in support of the bill. She's the executive director of the Tundra Women's Coalition, a women's shelter in Bethel. Arnold said that VPSOs are an important tool in addressing sexual violence in the region. She said in villages without VPSOs, it can be difficult to go through the proper steps needed to prove a rape after it's occurred, like securing a crime scene and evidence. Arnold also said that, depending on the case, sometimes local VPSOs make people feel safer than state troopers. She cited one instance where a woman in a village was told she could be escorted by a trooper to remove her from her domestic violence situation and bring her to the Bethel shelter. Arnold said the woman turned down the trooper escort, saying it would have escalated the situation. As a result, the woman was not able to leave her domestic violence situation. Arnold suggested she would have felt safer with the option of a VPSO.
Sometimes it's best to just be able to have a local law enforcement do something calm and every day, like just escort a person to an airstrip as opposed to coming and knocking on the door.
She said if the officer's a locally known person, they would be less likely to cause alarm or retaliation in the abuser. The House bill must first be heard in the House Finance Committee before it can be moved back onto the House floor for a final vote. In Juneau, I'm Olivia Eberts.
As for the weather, a front brought rain and wind to Juneau today. That rain will continue tonight, but the winds should die down to around 10 miles an hour. More rain tomorrow that could turn into snow on Thursday night. From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Krumrie.